I lived in South Africa many years ago. One morning I was on my way to work. It was early, the sun wasn't up yet. And as I drove down one of the country roads, I saw a man lying on the road ahead. He was badly beaten and he wasn't moving. So I got out of my truck and I went to see what was wrong. His face was all bloody and he didn't respond when I spoke to him. Just then another truck drove up and the driver appeared to be a construction worker and his crew was in the back of the pickup. They do that over there. They put the man into the back of the truck and the driver said he would drop him at the nearest hospital. So when I got to work, I told my co-workers this story and they yelled at me. They told me never do that again. Apparently, thieves would commonly find a person, beat him up, put him on the road, and then when a good Samaritan stopped to offer help, the thieves would come out of the bushes, beat and rob the good Samaritan and steal their vehicle. Now, fortunately, that didn't happen to me, and I never had a similar experience again. I think my incident on the dark country road characterizes our most common understanding of the parable of the Good Samaritan, someone offering assistance to a person in need whom they don't know. We see the story as a moral lesson. This is how we should treat other people. But Jesus used his parable not only to show us how to live our lives, he used them to tell us about himself. In the parable, the Samaritan represents Jesus. And as we heard, when the Samaritan saw the injured man, he was moved with pity. The priest and the Levite kept their distance. They didn't get involved. But we heard he went to him, bandaged his wounds, put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Do you see the difference? See, according to the law, the priest and the Levite would have been ritually unclean if they had touched that beaten man, if they had come in contact with his blood. They passed him by so that they could perform what they considered their religious duties. But what were their real religious duties? And you see, the Samaritan wasn't handcuffed by their laws. He could respond simply out of love. In criticizing the priest and the Levite, Jesus was criticizing a religion that had lost its way. But why did Jesus depict himself as a Samaritan? Samaritans are part Jew and part pagan, half-breeds that were hated, outsiders who were accepted by no one. And this was Jesus, fully divine, but also fully human, fully one of us. But because he is God and because he did the will of the Father, because he loved so unconditionally, he was treated as an outsider, hated by the religious authorities, and eventually killed by them. The world was not ready for the unconditional love that would move a total stranger to care for someone in need. Is the world any different now? So the Samaritan took the broken and bloody man to an inn, paid the innkeeper, said that he would pay any additional expenses when he returned. I will repay you whatever you spend. Whatever more you spend. The Samaritan was writing a blank check. So again, Jesus was presenting himself as the Good Samaritan, as an outsider who doesn't have to get involved, but who approaches us in our sinfulness, in our brokenness, cares for us, binds our wounds, and promises to pay whatever it takes to heal us. And we know what he paid. He paid his life. Remember how this gospel passage started. A lawyer who was trying to trick Jesus had asked him what he had to do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus asked him what the law said, and he responded, love God, love your neighbor. But then the lawyer asked, who is my neighbor? And that's why Jesus told the story. And at the conclusion of the story, he told the lawyer, go and do likewise. So he's saying that to us. But what does it mean for us? I was at a gas station with Laura a number of years ago. I had just finished filling my car, and I was ready to leave. I was in a hurry. Laura pointed to an older man who was struggling to get out of his car and then was fumbling with the filler cap and the gas hose. And she said, "He's in trouble. Go help him." And I told her I thought he probably just had too much to drink. But she was insistent. So I said, "Yes, dear," and went over there. It turned out he was having trouble. I think he was having a stroke. So we called 911, and I waited with him until the paramedics came. You see, in that situation, Laura acted like the Good Samaritan. I actually acted like the Levite, at least initially. But isn't it hard to figure out when to act and when to pass by on the other side? Some of our biggest challenges in this regard happen in our families, in our own families. Is it our place to confront a family member who has a problem with drugs or alcohol or gambling? What can or should we do when we have suspicions of abuse within our families? And what about a dishonest coworker? There are so many situations when we can act like the Good Samaritan, but we always ask ourselves, should we? Our first reading today told us that the Word of God is very near to us. It is in our mouths and in our hearts for us to observe. We know that the Good Samaritan was moved with pity. He acted from his heart. He acted out of love. I'm certain there are no hard and fast rules about when to jump into someone else's situation and when to walk by. But the Word of God is written on our hearts. If we listen to that Word, if we are people who act out of love, not out of pride or a desire to impose our values or our will on other people, then we will be the kind of person who is able to jump in when necessary. And we will have the wisdom to distinguish between the right time and the wrong time. The lawyer asked, "Who is my neighbor?" It might be more appropriate to ask, "Is there anyone who is not my neighbor?" There's no shortage of people in our world who are in need. As Jesus said, after describing himself, "Go and do likewise."